Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinnertime favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas, to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Carla J., your host of Carla's channel, Heart to Heart Inspiration. And today we have another exciting guest. We have author Joshua Flappin. And he is going to talk to us about his book. He actually has 3 published books. But today we're going to be talking about his book, Education Mania. And I am so excited to be talking about that book. But first of all, before we get started, if you can hear me okay, just put a yes in the chat that you can hear me okay. And we'll be sure to get started. I just want to be sure we catch any technical issues, if there are any, ahead of time. And then also, please subscribe and follow my channel, Carla's channel, Heart to Heart Inspiration. This podcast is a podcast community where we have guests from all walks of life talking about inspirational stories and things they have overcome or areas where they would like to bring awareness to. So, and as always, you can find me at Carla's channel, Heart to Heart Inspiration on Facebook, on Instagram, and our podcast episodes are loaded to Spotify. Okay. So without further ado, Joshua, welcome. Welcome.
Hi, nice to be on your show.
Thank you so much. It's so great to have you. So, Joshua, before we get into all of your business, let us know a little bit about you, your hobbies, and where we can find you on social media or your books.
I live in Boca Raton, Florida with my parents. I'm 41 years old. I like to do research. I like to debate, like to go on social media. And you can find me by Googling Joshua Flappin.
All right. Perfect. I love that you said you like to debate. So I hope we have some great debaters on with us today. Okay. So Joshua, your book, Education Mania, I've read the excerpts. We've talked a little bit about it. Tell us how you even got started into this research, and what made you do it?
What made me do the research was to change public policy for the better. And I started in 2009 under the apprenticeship of Dr. Jackson. I can't be a professor, though.
Wow.
Because you need a PhD, unfortunately, usually. Unless you're a famous author.
Well, sometimes you get that honorary degree, right? The honorary PhD.
But the universities are very strict on who can be a professor.
Now, who is Dr. Jackson? You mentioned Dr. Jackson.
He's a professor at Lynn University, a good friend of mine, a mentor, and he has guided me through the education process and helped me start writing.
Okay, awesome. Okay, perfect. Thank you. So you mentioned that you were under Dr. Jackson. Now, do you have a degree yourself?
Yes, I have a bachelor's in history degree. In 2008, I graduated at Florida Atlantic University.
Oh, nice. Okay. So a bachelor's degree in history. So that's kind of, is that what got your feet wet here in the history or researching these types of topics?
Definitely. And I would not be able to write my books without going to college. College teaches you research and development.
All right. I love it. So the moment that you and I started talking about your book and everything, I was so intrigued by it because you give a different perspective on it. So tell us about your perspective and the crust of your book without giving too much away, because we do want people to go out and buy your book and learn more about your research. But just give us a little taste of it.
Yeah, college grad, struggle to work, some end up on the street with debt, no job. Some physicians don't get residency. They're stuck and in debt, $200,000. Wow. I have solutions to college and nothing, apprenticeships, child labor, getting rid of stuff.
Wow. Get child labor. So tell us a little bit about, first of all, I never knew that physicians, there are some physicians who can't even get a residency. So tell us about that. What, how does that happen?
There's too many physicians competing for positions in America, and I don't think they value overseas universities.
Oh, okay.
Like the Caribbean, Ross University Medical School, or the American University of the Americas.
Okay. So there sounds like there's a lot of physicians in training or residents from some of those places that you mentioned, but then when they come to the States, it's hard for them to get that residency.
Absolutely. It's like a diploma mill that you go, but a physician is usually get a job.
Okay.
Physicians, pharmacists, even pharmacists, I found an NIH study, 4% unemployed.
Really?
Definitely. 4% in 2019.
That's so interesting to me. So I know some places along that I've researched and you hear about on the news, even in the States, there are some states that have doctor deserts. There are deserts that they don't have enough doctors per people in those states. And I know Nevada is one of them, you know, and nurses as well. So I wonder, you know, how that would impact. Like, I wonder if states like Nevada, do they employ or hire those residents from those different type of countries to ease the burden? Do you know anything about that? Or what does that look like?
Well, they're overqualified. The mission of the university is public service, international, preserving information and jobs for private industry. It's research. And I think the employers don't want somebody who's overqualified. That's my.
Okay. So you're saying that based on what you have researched and everything, it seems like, you know, if they are overqualified, because they're a physician or maybe have more knowledge from where they're coming from than some of the people here already. And so they would get overlooked or passed by for that.
Yeah, many college grads get passed by. Employers don't want them, like some ex-cons.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's so true. So you were talking about earlier, tell us this relationship about technical school, because you said everyone doesn't need to go to college. And you talk about technical school. Tell us more about that.
Well, technical school could be like training nurses in high school, engineers, accountants, architects. You don't really need the theories of college to do the job of nursing. But you do need hospital medical field should be tightly regulated, though, because they have the people's lives at stake.
Okay.
Like airline pilots.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So like an airline pilot, is there a college course that they follow, a college degree that they follow?
They train a number of hours, airline pilots. Okay. But they have to go to, I think some go to college. But I don't think they need to go to college, airline pilots. They can train as apprentices. They're trained anyway.
So do you, just staying right there with the pilots for a little bit, do you think that they should learn like math, physics, and things like that before they get that training? You're saying, I don't know any pilots, so I can't answer that question, but I would imagine that's a part of their learning.
Yeah, but they can train and learn. Someone who's experienced usually guides someone with no experience in the airline industry. But I don't want someone flying a 747 with no experience.
Right. Well, so you talked a little bit about nursing as well. So I am a nurse. I'm a registered nurse. And there are some nursing programs that can start on the high school level. And in different states, they're called different things, just so the audience is aware. So there's what's called licensed practical nursing. And they also have another name. Licensed practical nursing is sometimes more on the in the Midwest. So like Illinois, for sure, they're called licensed practical nursing, but they also can be licensed nurses, and they may have a licensed professional nurse, a different title. But those are not college degrees. They are trained, like what you're saying, trained apprenticeship like that, where they are taught medication, they're taught patient safety, different things like that involved at the nursing level. But then there's also registered nurses. And then the registered nurse is a college degree. You do have to have college for that. You have to take prerequisites before you get into that nursing program. So you have to take science, anatomy and physiology. So when we say that nursing, you know, is not required for that, that could be true on some levels, but there are, English is required because you want to talk to a nurse that knows how to speak properly, right? Proper English, document properly, knows the anatomy, things like that. But I would agree that there are some courses that may not be particularly needed, you know, but there's a lot of math involved as well. But then there's also nursing math or medication math that's different that could be taught, you know, on like an apprenticeship type style, you know, where you could have people learning different types of math like that. So I would just, let me ask the audience, do we have any nurses on the line? In the audience that you would like to ask a question, or you have anything to, Joshua likes to debate. So if you have anything that you'd like to rebuttal against what Joshua is saying, go ahead. And also Joshua talked about pilots, you know, maybe, and I don't know if there's a school for pilots, not a school, like if you have to have a degree to become a pilot or anything like that. So if anyone is watching and you know about those types of things, put it in the chat. We'd love to hear from you. So Joshua, one of the things I found interesting in the book excerpt that we discussed was that you said you talked about the janitor in a janitor's position versus a doctor's position. But tell us more about that. What do you mean by that?
Well, a janitor could work with nothing, no education background, and a physician works in college and with a college degree, and a research physician makes more money. I think they should make more money than a physician, pay him like $400,000.
Wait, you think which one should make more money?
I think a researcher. physician who does medical research, cancer, AIDS, other diseases.
Okay, you think they should make more than the practicing physician that's on the front lines?
Absolutely.
Oh, tell us about that. Why do you think that? So just for the sake of the show, I'm going to argue against that, right? So I would say the person on the front lines, the doctor on the front lines is right there. Their license is on the line, their medical license. They have to know all of the information. They should get paid more. What would make you say the researcher needs to get paid more?
The researcher does discovery of information, has to go to school for a long time, and also works in the research hospital, like the NIH, or you can say the FDA or CDC.
Okay.
They do researchers, like Anthony Fauci was a research physician here in 400,000.
Okay. So is it because you're saying if it wasn't for the research, then the doctors at the bedside wouldn't be able to do their job properly?
Absolutely. It's knowledge trickles down on a hierarchy, educational hierarchy, from college to nothing.
Okay. I can see that point of view. Now, the janitor piece, though, give me a little bit more on that one. I'm still stuck with that one a little bit.
The janitor at the hospital would clean the floors with no education background.
Mm-hmm.
And like the transporter at the hospital would clean the floors. No, transport the patient, I meant.
Mm-hmm.
With no education. The surgeon, of course, has to go to college. Pharmacist would go to college. Nurse would go to high school. And middle school could be clerical work.
Mm-hmm.
Elementary.
So it sounds like you're saying, instead of spending so much money on college, you know, going into debt, that there's so many more viable jobs that people could have without going into debt, because once they get out of college, there's no guarantee that they will even find a job.
That is true. The average debt is about $37,000 for a college grad. The debt for student loan debt is $1.5 trillion. It's gone down $2 billion under Biden, but it may go up again under Trump. Mm. I don't know what's going to happen with student loan debt. I think they should forgive all the debt.
I know, right? Because you're doing it for, well, tell us why you think they should forgive all the debt.
They should forgive all the debt because people were manipulated and their beliefs that college would get them a good job are not gonna pan out.
I could see that. That is so true. That is so true. It's a lot of money that people are investing. And then depending on what you go for, if that profession or career is even a viable path, you know, you could just be stuck owing thousands of dollars and not being able to find a job in that field.
Absolutely. And some studies have found that college grads do very poorly. A Washington Post article said college grads have higher unemployment than non-college grads.
Wow. Now that's very interesting. And I could see that. There's so many different type of degrees and things out there like that. And even with my own family members, you know, they always, you know, oh, I want to go to school for this. I want to go to school for that. But the first thing that me and my husband tell them is, one of the first things we say is, how viable is that profession that you're going for?
Absolutely. If you major in history or psychology or biology, you can't do anything. You need the PhD to be a psychologist, an MD to be a physician. And they don't accept a lot of physicians in medical school.
Wow. Very, very competitive field. And it's easy to get into that realm. I know like social workers, there's so many different types of social workers. There's a licensed clinical social workers, but then I hear you can't get a lot of jobs in that. You have to have your master's in social work, and it goes on and on. So I could definitely see your point of view with that.
You shouldn't have to get a master's to go to social work. That's overqualified.
Wow.
You can train as apprentices, train them, go to high school.
Okay.
Technical high school.
So I want to get into some of the questions. I think we have a question in the comments, and then I want to focus our attention to how you're working on this to change public policy. So we have, thank you everyone for joining in. We have people joining in from the South Side of Chicago, Las Vegas, West Hills, California. Thank you so much. So one of our guests says, do you feel that standardized testing is needed for certain professions?
Definitely you need for physicians, pharmacists, psychologists, professions that have lives at stake.
True.
Like pilots, they're trained anyway as apprentices.
Okay. So like a standardized testing for certain professions would kind of help bridge that college void without having to endure all of the debt.
Absolutely. If you have public safety jobs like cops or firefighters too, you don't want them. Mm-hmm. You want tests for public safety, not every job.
Okay. All right. And another question is, should U.S. citizens be allowed to attend college free of charge?
I think that you should have college for professors only and have it like 14,000 like air traffic controllers or 20,000 like surgeons.
Okay.
So free apprentices training. Yes.
So if they're going for those types of things, it should be free of charge.
Definitely.
But for doctors, you said doctors like, no, they should pay.
No, they shouldn't pay. Oh. They shouldn't have to pay. No one should have to pay for an education. And in some parts of Africa, you have to pay for elementary school.
Oh, really? Wow. Is that okay? So I wonder if that's why there's such a gap in the education, and people are always trying to open schools in Africa. I never knew that connection. I never knew why that was. I just assumed it was because of no funding there.
Africa is a continent that needs to be improved, and their education system is behind. I don't think no one should in the world should have to pay for an education.
So how would the professors get paid? How would the colleges get paid if it were all free?
Government, Uncle Sam would take over. We only have like 10 universities, 2,000 professors each. There's 150 medical schools out there.
So it's no, go ahead.
It could be very, very limited.
Because as it is now, and I remember this under the Biden administration for the loan forgiveness proposal, one of the questions on that application was if you were misled into believing, I don't know what the criteria was, but it was about, if you were misled about the college degree and you have all this debt that you owe. That seems to be a factor, like what you're speaking of as well. Like it's so many schools out here that this is a way for more dollars just to be extended upon as a social, as a money mill, for different schools and things.
Yeah, they become profit. They should be nonprofit. There's 5,000 universities. You only need about 10, the top Ivy League schools.
Okay. I can see that point of view. Now, in some places, I believe, now you have the research, are there countries that education is free, college is free? I thought I read that somewhere or heard it before, like in Europe, but I'm not sure. Is that the case?
I think in Norway and Denmark, some of those Scandinavian countries are free.
Okay.
But the dissertation is college, a 5-chapter essay.
Yes, you do. You have to write your essay. You have to write your dissertation. What about lawyers? Attorneys is a big thing these days as well. And they have a lot of schooling, a lot of debt.
Yeah, they get a Bachelor of Law. They used to be able to get a Bachelor of Law, but but it changed back to the Juris Doctor.
Okay. Yes, they have to have the Juris Doctor, the JD. So very interesting. Do you think they should go to college or have to pay? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I don't think no one should pay for university. They overcharge. It's overpriced for everybody.
Yeah, it's definitely caused a lot of people a lot of anxiety and stress. And I believe that's one of the reasons why the Biden administration was trying to offer some debt forgiveness for that. And so we shall see what happens now that Trump is coming in. And well, it didn't go through under the Biden administration for that debt forgiveness for loans under certain type of stipulations it did, but others it didn't go through, which was a lot of people hoped for. So I appreciate you. Someone said they believe college is free in the Cayman Islands. I'm not sure about that. Is it?
Or do you know? I haven't checked that out.
Okay. All right. So that is awesome. So as we are, this time flew by, Joshua.
It was fun.
We are wrapping up. I appreciate you enlightening us and giving us some different perspectives about this topic. College debt and degrees is a hot topic, and it's never going to be, you know, a something that people agree on, because there's so many different perspectives about it, right? As we can see, even in today, when we're just talking about college debt forgiveness, so many people are in debt, and that is a way for colleges to make money, different organizations, Uncle Sam to make money, the government, things like that. And I really like how you are proposing that. What steps have you taken to actually work towards this change in public policy?
Writing the book, and the book business is not easy at all. There's a lot of different publishers out there, millions, like college. Mm-hmm. It's not easy, the book business. If you're going to get in the book business, my advice to authors would be to get another job.
Okay.
Most of the books are written by either politicians, professors, or journalists. Okay. Or famous people.
They get the most attention.
That is 100% true.
Now, have you gone to any politicians, any congressmen, any, you know, any of those types of platforms to push this through? Are you working with any politicians?
No, I'm not working with any politicians.
Okay. Well, maybe that's something that you could work on in the future, because I think there may be a little bit more momentum since the Biden administration put it out there. I mean, I don't know. There seems to be, maybe you could hook up with someone to, I'm sure a lot of students that are in debt, a lot of people, you know, who can't find jobs with those degrees would be behind you. So maybe that's something that you could, you know, work on in the future.
Absolutely. And the Higher Education Act of 1965 allowed the president to forgive all debt by Lyndon Johnson.
Really?
Definitely. He could, or pass a bill through Congress, but then there'd be millions of jobs lost. It's a big bubble. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like just a housing crash.
Yeah. Like a domino effect. Right. So
you can forgive all the debt, but then all the jobs would go associated with college.
Yeah. So a lot to think about, a lot to think about. Maybe there could be a pilot, you know, study done, or a pilot group or something like that. But Joshua, I wish you well. I've learned a lot from this and your books. I think our that book, Education Mania, there is a trailer on it in the description for this show, and I will link it again so people can take a look, and they can find your books on Amazon. Just search your name, Joshua Flappin, F-L-A-P-A-N. And we hope to hear more from you, Joshua. And everyone on the line, thank you so much for joining. Thank you for your comments. Please remember to like, subscribe, and follow. And we are signing off, and we'll catch you next week. We'll have another exciting guest. Thanks again, Joshua. Thanks,
no
everyone.
Problem. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.